Hi, Geraint Jones here, and welcome to another edition of From the Bookshelf. Today we are continuing to read from The Motorcycle Diaries, A Journey Around South America by Ernesto Che Guevara, translated by Anne Wright and published by Verso in 1995. Che writes, in Chile, there are, as far as I am aware, no non-volunteer fire brigades, but it's still a very good service because captaining a brigade is an honour much sought after by the most able men in the towns or districts where they operate. And don't think it's a job only in theory. In the south, at least, there are an amazing number of fires. I don't know if you can put it down to the fact that most buildings are made of wood, or that the people are poor and not very well educated, or some other factor, or all of them put together. What I do know is that in the 3 days we were at the fire station, there were 2 big fires and 1 little one. I'm not suggesting this was average, just stating the facts. I haven't explained that after spending the night at the lieutenant's house, we decided to move to the fire station, lured by the caretaker's 3 daughters, prime examples of the charm of Chilean women who, ugly or pretty, have a certain spontaneity and freshness which is immediately captivating. But I digress. They gave us a room where we put up our camp beds and slept our usual sleep of the dead, which meant we didn't hear the sirens. The volunteers on duty didn't know we were there and rushed off with their fire engines while we carried on sleeping until past mid-morning, when we learned what had happened. We made them promise to call us for the next fire. We already found a lorry to take us on the bike to Santiago in 2 days' time for a small fee, on condition we helped them with the loading of furniture that they were moving. We were a very popular pair and always had lots to chat about with the volunteers and the caretaker's daughters, so the days in Los Angeles simply flew by. In my eyes, which insist on categorizing and anecdotizing the past, however, the town is symbolized by the furious flames of a fire. It was the last day of our stay, and after copious libations demonstrating the good mood of the goodbyes, we had curled up in our blankets and gone to sleep, when a bell, the one we'd been waiting for, calling duty volunteers, ripped through the night and through Alberto's bed, from which he sprang out of too quickly. We soon took up our positions with appropriate gravity in the fire engine, Chile España, which shot out of the station, the long whine of the alarm siren not alarming anyone too familiar to be much of a novelty. A house of wood and adobe shook with each gush of water falling on its flaming skeletons, while the acrid smoke of burnt wood defied the stoical work of the firemen who, roaring with laughter, protected the neighbouring houses with water jets or other means. From the only part of the house that the flames hadn't reached came the yowling of a cat, which, terrified by the fire, just meowed and refused to escape through the small space left. Alberto saw the danger, measured it at a glance, and with an agile leap jumped the 20 centimetres of flames and saved the little endangered life for its owners. As he received effusive congratulations for his peerless courage, his eyes shone with pleasure beyond the high borrowed helmet. But everything comes to an end, and Los Angeles finally bade us farewell. Little Che and Big Che, that's Alberto and me, gravely shook the last friendly hands as the lorry pulled out for Santiago, carrying on its powerful back the corpse of La Poderosa II. We arrived in Santiago on a Sunday and went straight to the Austin garage. We had a letter of introduction to the owner, but found to our dismay that it was closed. We finally got the caretaker to accept the bike, however, and went off to pay for part of the trip with the sweat of our brows. Our job as porters had different stages. The first, very interesting, took the form of 2 kilos of grapes each, consumed in record time, helped by the absence of the owner of the house. And second was their arrival and the subsequent hard work. The third, Alberto's discovery that the lorry driver's mate had an exaggerated and misplaced opinion of himself. The poor guy won all the bets we made with him by carrying more furniture than us and the owner put together. The latter played dumb with great elegance. Stony-faced, which was fair enough on a Sunday, our consul, who we'd managed to track down, finally turned up at what served as an office and let us sleep in the patio. After haranguing us about our duties as citizens, etc., he outdid himself in generosity by offering us 200 pesos, which we, on our high horses, refused. If he'd offered it 3 months later, it would have been a different story. Santiago looks more or less like Cordoba. The pace of life is quicker and the traffic's much heavier, but the buildings, the streets, the weather, and even the people bring to mind our own Mediterranean city. We didn't get to know the city well, because we were only there for a few days and had lots of urgent things to sort before we took off again. The Peruvian consul refused to give us a visa without a letter from his Argentinian counterpart, and the latter refused because he said the bike probably wouldn't get us there, and we'd have to ask the embassy for help. The little angel didn't know the bike was already dead, but he finally relented and they gave us a visa for Peru at a fee of 400 Chilean pesos, a hefty sum for us. Visiting Santiago at the time was the Suquía water polo team from Córdoba, and many of the lads were friends of ours, so we made a courtesy call on them while they were playing a match and got ourselves invited to one of those have some ham, try some cheese, have a little more wine type Chilean meals that you get up from, if you can, straining all the thorax muscles you can muster. Next day, we went up Santa Lucia, a rocky outcrop in the centre of the city with a history all of its own, and were peacefully taking photographs of the city when a group of Suquía members arrived, shepherded by some beauties from the host club. The poor guys were pretty embarrassed because they didn't know whether to introduce us to these distinguished Chilean society ladies, as they eventually did, or pretend not to know us. Remember our idiosyncratic attire. But they managed the tricky situation with as much aplomb as possible and were very friendly as people could be from worlds as far apart as theirs and ours at that particular moment in our lives. The big day finally arrived, on which two tears ploughed symbolically down Alberto's cheeks, and with one last wave to La Poderosa, left the garage and we set off towards Valparaíso on a magnificent mountain road, the best that civilization can offer compared to real natural wonders, unspoiled by human hand, that is, in a lorry which climbed steadfastly despite our freeloading. And that's it for today from me on From the Bookshelf. I'm Gavin Jones.